بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. وقال الله عز وجل: إن الذين يرمون المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات لعنوا في الدنيا والآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم. وقال أبو موسى الأشعري الصحابي الجليل رضي الله عنه: ما اشتكل علينا أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث، فسألنا عائشة رضي الله عنها إلا وجدنا عندها منه علما. أو كما قال. وبعد، respected علماء كرام، حفاظ، elders and friends in Islam, we thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the great gift of Iman that Allah has conferred upon us to try and get some understanding of the value and the magnanimity of this boon and favor that we enjoy. We learn from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the very last of the believers who will be taken out of the fire of Jahannam, he would have to have been cleansed of his sins and his shortcomings as far as practice was concerned, until finally, based on the iota of Iman, of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all that Allah wanted him to believe in, he would be granted salvation from the fire of Jahannam. And this person, being the lowest rank of the inhabitants of Jannah, would be given a size, a piece in Jannah, 10 times the equivalent of this world in its size and space. And all of this Allah has reserved based on this great ni'mah and this great favor of Iman. So we continuously appreciate and value, refresh, and make every effort to protect this great unfathomable gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Some of the famous false propaganda regarding this pure and infallible deen of Islam is that it is deficient in some regards as far as the rights of women are concerned. However, the statement could not have been further away from the truth. As Yvonne Ridley, who had reverted to Islam, and she testifies herself being in captivity at the hands of the Taliban, who had not lifted a finger on her. In fact, she says, after 10 days of ranting, raving, and spitting and cursing them, when they eventually freed me, I don't know if it was they or I who was the happier to relieve ourselves of one another. It was on that instant that she had given them the promise that she would go and study Islam, and after seeing the beauty and the nur of Islam, has entered the fold of Islam. She says so beautifully that those rights that the women of Europe were fighting for up to the 1960s and 70s had been given to Muslim women 1,400 years ago. She says also regarding the niqab, the veil and the covering, that it is a means of conferring honor and dignity to a woman, as opposed to the trait of a woman's body being used to sell and to make products famous. An outstanding example of how Islam has accorded a woman the opportunity to go as far as within her limitations in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, very importantly, within the role decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specific roles according to the inherent nature and qualities found within males and females, they aspire within the roles dedicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them to try and become as best as possible in their submission and adherence to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. A glaring and a beautiful example of this is what we look at in today's lesson, looking into the life of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, our respected mother, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us understand that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoy a very, very special status, decreed as such in no lesser words than the eternal and perpetual words of Allah Ta'ala in the form of the Quran, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim," that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to and enjoys more rights over the believers than they have even over their own selves. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, and the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Azwaj Mutahharat, are the mothers, are given the status of being motherly figures to this ummah. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, and therefore the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collectively are known as ummahatul mu'mineen. And therefore, it was not permissible for any of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the mothers of the ummah, to remarry after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure from this temporary abode. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, some brief glimpses into the life of our respected and venerated mother, had married. The nikah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performed 2 years prior to the hijrah. Instead, in the very occasion of her nikah, when Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha had passed away, and a woman from amongst the Quraysh had carried the proposal, her name was Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha, had carried the proposal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her home, a most honorable and a respected home, the home of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the father of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. His wife, the mother of Aisha radiallahu anha, was Ummu Roman, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's elder sister, an outstanding companion in her own rights. Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha was in marriage to Zubair ibn al-Awwam, one of the Ashara Mubashara. On the occasion of the proposal reaching this home, there was nothing but joy and happiness expressed by everyone within the sanctity of that home. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the wisdom and the foresight that Allah had blessed him with, he was one of the most noble Arab men in the entire peninsula, even prior to Islam, teaches us a great lesson on this occasion, that he very speedily performed the nikah. No sooner had the proposal reached him, and the happiness and consent from within all the members of the family had been expressed, he immediately performed the nikah of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, she began living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only 2 or 3 years after the hijrah, after the migration. She had spent 9 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to what heights had she reached in this stage, in every regard and in every aspect? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed on, she was 18 years old, had become proficient in the injunctions of deen in a manner